Dad, this is ludicrous. Why do you keep avoiding the doctor?
Because I feel fine. I'll go to the doctor when I don't feel fine. Besides, I don't like Dr. Jennings. He's got a model of a colon on his desk. He keeps his tongue depressors in it.
My doctor thinks I'm taking hallucinogenic drugs. How do I know? Let's just say a little bird told me.
Mrs. Simpson, I'm afraid your husband is dead. April Fool's. He's very much alive.
Doctors are the worst of all. You pick up the same disease three or four times, they start lecturing you like it's your fault. You want a bite?
None of you skipped it to me across a pool of disinfectant.
Doctor said I wouldn't have so many nosebleeds if I kept my finger out of there.
Liability waiver.
Don't read it, just sign it. It simply says you won't hold us responsible if you die as a result of gross negligence. It's a standard form.
You think you should call him and apologize?
Yes, he's a doctor.
I told him music is a doctor.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Hi, I'm Rob Snow. It's great to be with you. Great to have Dr. Barry Dworkin here, ready, willing, and able to take any and all health-related questions. Good to see you.
Good to see you,
welcome
too.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
521-TALK, 521-8255. Star 580 is a free phone call if you're on the Bell Mobility System, and a free long-distance call as well. It's 1-800-580-CFRA. Every single phone line is available right now, and you know the way it works. The phone lines tend to fill up as the hour goes through, so your best bet to get on with Dr. Barry Dworkin is to call early. I'm going to start with a story from Reuters News about the epidemic of diabetes.
Yep.
Number of people living with diabetes has hit 366 million worldwide. It kills one person every 7 seconds, diabetes. It poses a, quote, massive challenge to healthcare systems worldwide. Vast majority of those with the disease have type 2, which is the kind linked to poor diet, obesity, lack of exercise, and the problem is spreading as people in the developing world adopt more Western lifestyles. Diabetics have inadequate blood sugar control, which can lead to serious complications like heart disease and stroke, damage to the kidneys or nerves, blindness, and worldwide deaths from the disease. $4.6 million people every year. And these are the latest figures, Dr. Dworkin, from the European Association for the Study of Diabetes, based in Lisbon. And it's calling on urgent action by governments and the United Nations. What do you think about the epidemic of diabetes and what's behind it?
Well, there's a word that's used a lot. It's called multifactorial, and it tends to be overused. But in this case, diabetes is the proverbial canary in the coal mine. It is an expression of what we are doing in our society with regards to the calories we are consuming, the type of lifestyles we are living, and the complicitness of government along with companies that produce foods that really are not healthy for us, and not providing information to the consumer who can then make decisions or at least have the ability to make a decision about the type of food they wish to purchase. In the United States, they're now starting to show calories on menus in restaurants, which goes a long way. I mean, we talked about this, off the air, Rob, about going to Dairy Queen and how many calories a Blizzard was. And, you know, you were surprised when I said a large Blizzard's 1,400 calories, right? And people don't realize that that's almost a day's worth of calories. And that's usually after they go to a restaurant there where they've consumed 3,000 or 3,500 calories. We are eating out more often. Over half the time, people are eating in restaurants. So that in itself creates a glut. And again, we don't exercise as much. And we live, again, in an environment where there is food everywhere. Restaurants everywhere, fast food restaurants everywhere, commercials on television, associating food with fun. And yes, it's nice to go out for dinner with people, and that's part of life, but it becomes excessive. And the developing countries are now seeing this happen. It's no stretch when you start importing the same environment that we have here into those countries and see the increases in weight and obesity and diabetes.
Well, people become more affluent. They're lifted out of poverty. They become more affluent. Their diet changes.
Yeah.
They're not doing the same kind of manual labor, perhaps, that they once were. So maybe a bit of lethargy would come into society.
Exercise or the lack of it does play a role to a certain extent, but exercise in and of itself, if you're working and you're out in the fields and you're working all day long and have no access to restaurants and food, you're going to eat less. But for the most part, not exercising or not exercising as much is not going to cause the 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds of weight gain that you see. It's the intake of calories and the calorie-dense foods that we are consuming that are contributing to a lot of this problem. Our children are being exposed. We have a health minister an education minister in Ontario who believes that chocolate milk is a great source of nutrition for our kids, when those 500 milliliter cartons of chocolate milk is the equivalent of more than a can of Coca-Cola, 700 milliliters of Coca-Cola. It's crazy when you think about the calories that kids are taking in. It's all, you can't just say it's one thing. You'll have to look at what's going on around us.
So it's a lifestyle disease. Do you consider it to be a preventable lifestyle disease?
It is an absolutely preventable condition.
Type 2 diabetes.
Type 2, because look at when this has really started. There is an excellent graphic on the Center for Disease Control website. And if you look up obesity map, it will show you from 1990 through present day. Every year, they show the different states in the United States, and they color code them according to what percentage of the population is overweight and going up to severe obesity. And in 1970, the map was almost completely clear. Less than 10% of people were considered to be obese. And as you go year by year, you see it first start in the southern United States. It starts building up and building up. And red represented more than 30 to 35% of people who are morbidly obese. And more than half the country now is red. And there's no states at all that are now at that original less than 10%. And that's year by year. That's not a disease process per se. That is the changes within our environment. And you know that we've seen these changes, Rob. Plate serving sizes are greater. The proliferation of restaurants around our communities. The design of our cities that don't encourage walking or cycling. All these factors and many others are contributing to this problem. And yes, it is a preventable condition.
Couple of other statistics. Global annual healthcare spending on diabetes alone, $465 billion dollars. So $500 billion dollars. Global sales of diabetes medications, $35 billion. Yeah. Wow. And it's expected to increase by another $10 billion just in the next 4 years. Yeah. By 2015, it'll be almost $50 billion.
And I want to know if that, what's included in that, is whether they are also considering the heart disease, the kidney disease, the peripheral vascular disease that happens, loss of use of your limbs, the damage to your eyes, the renal dialysis that will follow, the heart attacks and strokes that happen. That's all associated with diabetes.
Do you see this a lot in your practice, people with diabetes? Like, it's chronic, right?
It's extremely
common.
You spend
a lot of time. Yeah.
Diabetes is a huge, huge component of any family physician's practice. And when you are told, or when you have a diagnosis of diabetes, what should go through your mind and what is considered from a clinical standpoint an equivalent name for diabetes is heart disease. They're both the same. Diabetes is heart disease. And if you have diabetes that is uncontrolled, you will end up with heart disease, heart attack, stroke, kidney damage, and on. The litany goes on, and those statistics you mentioned are really, that's just the beginning. I really am lamenting this data because this is just the beginning. It's not going to get any better in the near term. It's only going to get worse. And how our healthcare systems are going to manage with this is
unknown.
Unknown.
Yeah. 521-TALK, 521-8255, star 580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-CFRA. John in Ottawa.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I want to find the right spot, right place to start. I have a young family member, a daughter, first episode, I think they call it, intervention vis-a-vis the hospital, last June, a year ago this June, where hallucinations, et cetera, are kicking in. You couldn't use any logic, make any logical arguments. She ended up being hospitalized for approximately 4 weeks and has been on the drug treatment ever since. Mm-hmm. And it was only recently that they decided, oh, yes, this is schizophrenia, et cetera. Yet she's returned to full-time college and doing quite well. She worked for the last 4 months and then has returned to school now. And what we're trying to find out, I don't want to say use the word monitor, but she's living in our home again and aware of what's going on. And there's no signs of anything. She realizes what's going on. What I'm trying to get at, since she's paying the price medication-wise with a 45 pounds that she's, you know, put on, and she never did that before, and the need to sleep, it's clozapine, I believe, and it's 350 or something a night, every night, and has to fall asleep at 7 o'clock until 6 to get ready for school the next morning at college. And I'm wondering how long this can go on because we can't get straight answers.
So, in
other words, it seems like it's all gone away. Fine. You know, the intervention was there. Everything seems, no pun intended, back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
The medication's, it's done its job. Yet, is it the medication itself that's contributing to keeping her physically run down? Even, you know, your normal day at school or on the job,
right,
8 hours, et cetera, and then must sleep, and it's not, you know, brought on by depression. She's smiling, mm-hmm, she's happy, conversations, doing trigonometry, things that I couldn't handle.
Okay. Well, let's hear from the doctor, yeah, John, okay?
So, John, you raise a very good point in terms of where medications provide a good benefit, but there are also side effects to them that can also affect someone's quality of life. If she has a specific diagnosis of schizophrenia, if she stopped her medications, again, we're making the assumption that the diagnosis is correct,
right,
and that she has schizophrenia. If she stopped the medication, she was likely to revert to that schizophrenic state and develop a psychotic break again, which is what you described at the beginning.
Right.
So there's that aspect where the medication is providing her with a, as you mentioned, a very normal, normal emotional and cognitive state, which would disappear without it. But at the same time, she's also experiencing side effects that are compromising her quality of life to a certain extent. That being said, there is nothing wrong with evaluating and having the medications evaluated to see if there are any changes or tweaks that can be done that may reduce some of the side effects she's having, but still provide her with that benefit. And there are a few, there's some psychiatrists and psychopharmacologists in the city, and I can give you the name off the air that her physician can refer her to, that would look at all the medications she's taking and make recommendations for any changes, if possible, that would be less of a side effect for her, but still keep her from reverting to a schizophrenic state.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And one quick follow-up. Is that an assured thing that it's more than likely you're going to fall back? From what I read, 20% don't.
Well, if schizophrenia is a genetically determined condition, so this is not something that happened to her because she did something to herself.
Right.
This is a brain illness. So just as, for example...
Oh, she did have three serious concussions within 3 years.
Right, but that still contributes to damage and illness. And so it's very similar to someone, for example, who is... The thing about brain illnesses and cognitive illnesses and psychiatric disorders is that you don't wear them on your sleeve unless they're really present where your behavior changes. So you don't see anything. If someone's normal, they look completely normal.
Right.
Unlike other conditions where you see it happening. And so there's less of the stigma that, okay, I've got to take something for this to be working well, or to have, as we talked earlier about diabetes and having to treat that, you know, if you stop treating it, it gets worse again. So it's similar to this. This is a chronic illness that is controlled well with medications. And I got to tell you, I'm extremely happy. Schizophrenia is can be very difficult to treat. And for her to be functioning so well is really quite heartening to hear. But again, if she's having those side effects, I'll leave the name of that physician for you. And it's certainly worthwhile to get that opinion because it may give her some options that still allow her to function and function very well, but reduce some of the effects that you were talking about.
All right, John, I put you on hold for now. Just hang on the line. Don't hang up, and we'll get that name and number for you. 322 here, 580 CFRA. Wednesday House Call with Dr. Barry Dworkin.
What do winning athletes like Olympic champion Sonia Richards have to say about their Q-Ray bracelet?
Some folks call it my lucky bracelet because I've worn it for every race I've won the last 3 years. Is it luck or is it my Q-Ray? I don't know, but why take a chance?
Now Q-Ray introduces the ultimate sports bracelet, the Q-Ray Plus. With the extra power of high-gauss magnets used for centuries to promote a healthy lifestyle.
And I've actually seen different athletes wearing this, wearing the Q-Ray.
Q-Ray Plus, with magnetic power. Magnets with more power than ordinary magnetic bracelets. Beautifully crafted with an expandable steel band for a custom fit.
It's actually good looking. It's attractive. You know, people have asked me when I've been wearing it, hey, where'd you get that?
Call this number now and get your Q-Ray Plus. Q-Ray Plus.
All right.
With the extra power of magnets.
The extra power of magnets. Let's go to Len in Stittsville. Len.
Oh, my goodness. what a coincidence, and it is a coincidence. Believe me. Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm old enough, and I hate to admit it, old enough to recall the days of snake oil and other pharmaceutical fraud.
Still goes on now.
Well, that's where the coincidence comes in, I guess. But I have been listening to television advertisements mostly that talk about the value, whether it's magnetic or whether it's copper, some other esoteric mineral combination. First of all, I want to know why is this sudden flood of things? It's almost on every television station. And second of all, if there is in fact any health or medical benefits.
Okay. Well, great question.
Yeah. Well, the sudden flood of things is simply marketing, right? They blanket the airwaves so that it becomes seen. You know, it's like anything else. The more it's exposed, the more people talk about it.
You don't think there's anything to these bracelets, though?
No, there's no evidence that magnets, especially around your wrist, is going to have any consequence on your overall health. And frankly, you can't depend on someone who's trying to sell you something as the authority on these particular bracelets. The other thing is, and what I would want to know, just from a scientific standpoint, is how many gauss are produced, or micro-gauss, gauss is a measure of magnetism, in each of these bracelets. When you're wearing these bracelets, are they all the same?
But these magnets are more powerful than regular magnets.
And have you done a placebo-controlled trial where you have exactly
the
same...
Here it's the Q-Ray Plus.
Yeah, exactly the same metal, but no magnetic field generated, and one that has a magnetic field, and use it on people with the same condition, and will they feel any better? The fact is that when people are buying these
devices, they feel stronger, they have better balance.
That's right, because they are primed.
More energy.
They are primed to believe that because they're now investing in something, for whatever reason, when people are making a decision and they are having a vested interest, there is an inherent bias in that. You're always going to think, you buy a new car, it's the best car I've ever had. You buy anything, it's going to be... This is a great decision because you don't want to admit that you may have made a mistake. It's very painful to go through that. And so to say...
I got to cancel my order.
When people buy it and then put it on and say, I'm feeling better, that doesn't mean anything. It's completely subjective experience.
And snake oil.
It's snake oil. Okay. It's people taking your money for a piece of metal that costs 10 cents.
Okay, let's move on then. Wrong number. Brenda in Ottawa.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm excellent. I lost 190 pounds.
Yes.
I found it.
And, I was really intrigued by Dr. Dworkin's comment earlier about, the alarming rate of obesity. My whole family, we're all Amazon people. We're 6 feet tall, and I was really heavy before. I was 335 pounds before.
Right.
I had tried every diet known to man. Mm-hmm. And finally, I resorted to, after 2 years of research, gastric bypass surgery, which I had in Michigan. And that was 2.5 years ago. Yep. I am 137 pounds now. I feel fabulous. Mm-hmm. All my blood pressure, my joints, my up and down on the sugar scale, everything has regulated. And the thing that I found most fascinating, because I stopped to watch what I eat in terms of certain things will make me sick,
Right.
Rice, pasta, bread, added sugars, anything that can be easily converted to sugar, my body cannot process. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing that if you eliminate these things from your diet, how much better you will feel. And I have a friend who went through the same surgery, and she can eat bread, pasta, and rice, and she has not lost nearly the amount of weight. Like, she hasn't come close to what it lost.
Right. Now, the thing to consider, though, weight loss is because of caloric balance. So you're right in terms of if she is consuming more food or more calories, she is likely going to lose less weight. It's not necessarily the food per se, although I'm certainly no fan of added sugar to anything. I just find that we have so much added into our diets.
That's where you and me depart on that.
Yeah, that's okay, Rob. And, you know, sugars and corn syrups and you know, the first ingredient in cereals is glucose and, you know, all this stuff. And so, yes, you're going to have a lot of calories. So it's not, but it's not necessarily the food. It is the caloric content of that food. And so if you are consuming simple carbohydrates and a lot of them, you are going to, by extension, be consuming a lot of calories and certainly affecting your ability to lose weight. And she's also very correct with regards to all the diets she tried. Every diet didn't work. And that's exactly what Yoni Friedhoff says,
that's doctor, right.
Is
yeah.
That diets do not work because you are dramatically altering what you normally would eat and doing that for a short time, getting fed up with it because you can't, even though you may have lost weight, and reverting to previous lifestyle and eating behavior. So diets don't work. It is, it's just, as she mentioned, it's just not the way to approach weight loss.
Okay, let's move on to Mike in Ottawa. Mike.
Hi. I wanted to ask Dr. Dworkin, I went to a website. I heard a program on the radio of a Dr. Martin, and he was claiming that diabetes is caused by high carbohydrate diet, and that when we went away from a high fat, high protein diet, that's what causes diabetes, and we should be eating high protein and high fat. I was wondering what you think about that.
Again, diabetes in and of itself, as we see, is seen mostly, type 2 diabetes is seen mostly in people who are gaining excessive weight. And whether you are gaining that weight by consuming excessive carbohydrates or gaining that weight by consuming lots of protein and fat, it's still weight gain. And although consuming higher carbohydrates will influence initially, especially simple sugars, will influence how quickly your body secretes insulin, whereas proteins and fats won't do that as much, over time, that weight gain will still result in the same net effect. So again, it's not necessarily choosing the food. It's balancing what you eat and not eating more than what you need. And that's the crux of the problem.
But
with
what if I
diabetes.
Need a big blizzard? Okay.
Fill your boots, Rob.
Right. Last call.
But he raised a very good point because people do tend to focus on specific types of foods or ingredients of foods. And it's not necessarily the case. It's you can't say this one thing is the cause. It's you have to look at the entire package.
Last call, and we'll have to make it very quick. Leanne.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a 3-year-old with head lice that just doesn't seem to go away. Is it possible that certain shampoos don't work?
No. The reason they're not going away is that they're either getting reinfected or that the nits or the eggs in the hair are still remaining. It is one of the issues, too, is the child may be exposed to the initial source, which has not been treated. The clothing and the bedding and everything else has to be cleaned. Although lice do not live off of humans, they still can live for a short time on these other areas. But the child is usually, if they're getting, it's usually reinfection. Failure of treatment is usually because either the entire family was not treated completely or the nits weren't combed out of the hair enough and some of the eggs have remained. But that's usually the causes of it. This is where it's good to be, frankly, as obsessive and compulsive as possible.
We've been doing
that.
10 hairs at a time.
Yeah, and it's but everybody else has to be treated. And you also have to see they had to have caught it from somewhere because it just doesn't appear. It's usually caught off of another person or another child. And if they are playing with another child and that has not been treated, they're going to get reinfected. But that's likely the cause. If you've done, if you've been fastidious and you've done everything.
None of the kids she plays with has had it.
It's got to come from somebody. They don't just appear out of nowhere.
Okay. Right.
They come from someone.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Have to wrap it up there.
All righty.
Great to see you.
Likewise.
You'll be back on Sunday?
I will be back on Sunday.
Sunday House Call, Sundays at 4 on CFRA. Don't forget, Health Headlines with Dr. Dworkin during Madeley in the Morning.